Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
On his website, he tells himself to be a Christian and going to the right.
This guy was not in any way associated with active Christianity or active performing of any faith.
Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
These parables are not about us. These parables are about Him, the Christ, who needs no repentance.
Lord of truck drivers, love Issues, etc.
A picture is gradually taking shape of how it was, what was in the mind of this man, Anders Breivik, who planted a bomb, who went to an island camp, who killed over 80 people in one day, why he did it, what he was thinking, what he's still thinking about it. And it's a bizarre kind of a worldview that he holds, but if you examine the confusion that he makes of Christianity with culture, it's not an uncommon confusion, especially for American Christians. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of August. Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn joins us for the better part of this hour to talk about the worldview and the consequences of the worldview of Norway terrorist Anders Breivik. We'll round off today's Issues Etc. talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College about Ramadan, which begins this month for Muslims worldwide. Dr. Mike Horton is professor of systematic theology and apologetics at Westminster Theological Seminary in Escondido, California. He's co-host of the network radio program called The White Horse Inn, and he's author of a recent blog post entitled Enlightenment Fundamentalist Slays 80 at Summer Camp. Mike, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be with you again.
You say of Anders Breivik, here is someone who thinks of himself as a general in a culture war, a defense of Christendom without Christ. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's this idea that you can have a Christian civilization. You know, we like Christmas, we like Easter, we like the sentimentality of the you know, sort of the cultural impact of Christianity, but we don't really like the doctrine. And we're not committed personally to the truth claims of Christianity, but we sort of like the warm feelings that we have. We're all Americans, or we're all Western Europeans, or we're all, you know, part of this history and heritage. And just as it's hard sometimes to distinguish Christ from American culture, it's hard for many European nation states or Europe itself to distinguish its culture from Christianity. And so you kind of have this thing called Christendom, but you don't really have Jesus Christ. And Anders Breivik made that really clear in his own statement, his own manifesto of what he was after. He says you don't have to have a personal relationship with God. You know, he even at one point says, if there is a God. So it's not really the doctrine that he's interested in. It's the culture that sort of surrounds the history of what many of us would regard as a perversion of the doctrine.
So it sounds as though he has made it clear himself that that early label that the news attached to him, Christian fundamentalist, is completely inaccurate.
Oh yeah, he not only says that he doesn't. He says, regarding my personal relationship with God, I guess I'm not an excessively religious man. I am first and foremost a man of logic. However, I'm a supporter of a monocultural Christian Europe. He even says, as this is a culture war, our definition of being a Christian doesn't necessarily constitute that you are required to have a personal relationship with God or Jesus. Being a Christian can mean many things, but really what we're about is protecting the European cultural heritage. It's not required that you have a personal relationship with God or Jesus in order to fight for our Christian cultural heritage and European way. In many ways, our modern societies and European secularism is a result of European Christendom and the Enlightenment. It is therefore essential, he says, to understand the difference between a Christian fundamentalist theocracy, everything we don't want, and a secular European society based on our Christian cultural heritage, what we do want.
I hesitate to say this because it sounds flippant, and I by no means want to endorse the ideas of Anders Breivik, but I do find it morbidly refreshing to hear someone actually be honest. In the American context, you are well aware, Mike, that there are many who confuse, sometimes intentionally, especially our political leaders, the term Christian, when what they mean is a culture that is still borrowing on Christian capital. They do not mean Christian in any theological sense of the word. At least Anders Breivik is being honest in making that distinction, isn't he?
Yes, exactly. You know, on the left and the right in America and in Europe, you get this call. Jean-Marc Le Pen is another one in the French Parliament who was, and now his daughter is following in his footsteps, sort of along similar lines. It's a chauvinism, a cultural chauvinism that sort of longs for the good old days when the cross was on the flag and knights rode fiercely in defense of Christendom against the Muslim invaders, and that kind of romanticism is what people are after. Well, that just has nothing to do with Jesus of Nazareth.
The term fundamentalist or Christian fundamentalist in modern parlance used to be explicitly associated with a certain splinter group of Christian Protestantism. Is there any hint of Protestantism in Anders Breivik?
No, in fact, quite the contrary. He doesn't like Protestantism. He hopes that all Protestants will return to Rome under a unified papal system. And then what he hopes will happen at that point is that the Pope will get his nerve back and launch another crusade, as he did in the 11th century. He says, I usually refer to Protestantism as the Marxism of Christianity. As long as you ask forgiveness before you die, you can literally live a life as the most despicable character imaginable, which I thought was actually quite an interesting thing to say after you've massacred 80 Norwegian campers.
So put them together for us as far as you can. We can't read the mind of Anders, but we can read his manifesto. We can set it in the context of how his crimes and his thinking has been covered recently. Put the things together here. Is he being consistent within his framework, his definitions? Is he being consistent in the violence that he carried out?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. This is what happens when you cannot distinguish a creed from a culture. And let's be really, really clear about this. The big difference between Islam and Christianity is that Islam is committed in its texts, the Quran, the Hadith, the Sunnah of Muhammad. Islam is committed to confusing religion and culture, church, mosque, and state. Their view is that Islam is a totally integrated socio-economic, political, educational, medical, political, military complex. It's a system. It's not just a mosque. It is a total system of government and law. Well, Christendom was something similar. Augustine tried to distinguish the city of God from the city of man. The city of God is different in its source. It's coming down from heaven, not being built on earth. It's different in its means. It progresses in history, in the power of the Spirit, through word and sacrament, not through sword and crown. It is different in its destinations. The city of man is destined to be judged at the end of the age. All empires will crumble and fall. But as Hebrews tells us, this is Christ's kingdom is unshakable. It's founded on Christ's blood. It is therefore unshakable. He is king, and it is a kingdom that he is building. So when you confuse those two things, whether it's Islam or Christendom, you get something like this. It necessarily leads to violence, because what you're doing is basically reading yourself and your culture into the Old Testament holy war passages, failing to realize that in the New Testament, Jesus fulfills those types and shadows so that, as Hebrews 8 says, they become obsolete. We're not in a holy war situation anymore. Israel was the only theocracy that God has ever had on earth as far as a nation state. And there are no nations today that can go back to those passages and say, oh, we're David and his hosts driving the Canaanites out of the land. But that's exactly what Islam did to those Old Testament passages in ransacking them for Muhammad's delusions. And that's exactly what Christian emperors and popes did in their similar delusions. So it's no time better than the present for us to recover a distinction between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdoms of this age.
Let's take a break. Dr. Mike Horton is our guest. We're talking about the worldview and its consequences of Norway terrorist Anders Breivik. It's Tuesday afternoon, August the 2nd. Dr. Mike Horton is professor of systematic theology and apologetics at Westminster Theological Seminary in Escondido, California, co-host of the network radio talk show, The White Horse Inn, and he's author of a recent blog post titled Enlightenment Fundamentalists Slay 80 at Summer Camp. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Mike Horton. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Our life, especially as Christians, our worship, our devotion, our Christian life is rich with symbols. Now, the amazing thing is that Christians today know the symbols of secular culture. They know them well. They appreciate them. They value them. They well, in some cases, even revere them. The American flag, a symbol of freedom, of blood-bought freedom. And many Christians have, well, more reverence for the flag than they would for, say, the cross. Some Christian symbols, they don't even know what they mean. We have a primer on Christian symbols as our Issues Etc. book of the month for August. It's called Behold the Lamb, an Introduction to Christian Symbolism. It explores not only the symbols, but their scriptural roots and how each one of these symbols serves as a sermon, if you will, proclaiming Christ and his saving work. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. book of the month for August, Behold the Lamb, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this book. It's just about $9.50 plus shipping and handling. It is a great resource for family, for church, you name it. Called Behold the Lamb, an Introduction to Christian Symbolism. The toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for August, Behold the Lamb, an Introduction to Christian Symbolism. Dr. Mike Horton is our guest. We're talking about the worldview of Norway terrorist Anders Breivik. We were talking before about how creeds and culture get confused, Mike. American evangelicalism has abandoned its creeds. What it's left with is nothing but culture, albeit it's a suburban kind of pop American culture, but it's a culture nonetheless, and it's a cultural identification rather than a creedal one.
Yeah, it's interesting, Todd. From the 1950s till quite recently, a lot of mainline Protestants said, well, you know, I was raised, fill in the blank, and I'll die, fill in the blank. This is my church. I'm staying with it. And the doctrine was changing. First, the doctrine changed. That's when people like J. Gresham Machen, you know, Pieper, and others in both of our traditions rang the bell and said, hey, this is another religion. Protestant liberalism is not a different flavor of Christianity. It's not Christianity. And a lot of evangelicals stayed in the mainline denomination saying, well, you know, as long as we have Jesus, we'll be okay. As long as we have the experience of Jesus in our heart, that'll be fine. And then eventually that was gone too. So the doctrine went first, then the experience went. And then what's really sad, Todd, is the great majority of those who packed up and left did so when it came to the cultural issues. For example, mainline denominations funding the Sandinistas in Nicaragua or Marxism in other parts of the world. It was when they voted to support political and moral causes that were contrary to the traditional morals and values and political orientation and economic positions of many middle-class Protestants. That's tragic, because basically that already tells you that a lot of quote-unquote conservatives in mainline Protestantism all along have really just been cultural Christians.
It also plays together, and I don't know exactly how, but I suspect I'm right when I say that it plays together with the current and ever-evolving identity of American civil religion as well. Because what Anders Breivik is essentially calling for is a European civil religion, one that is fully expressed and fully realized in the culture around him. It seems to me a lot of Christians, I guess they in the American scene, would be perfectly happy with that. An American civil religion doesn't necessarily need to include Christ.
Right. Right, as long as it's sort of, well, I mean, and you think about what happens every Christmas, it's astonishing how a lot of times you will hear even quote-unquote Christians, Roman Catholic and Protestant, going on television or on the radio attacking those who want to get rid of any kind of national celebration of Christmas, and they'll talk about Santa Claus. And they'll go to court over a Santa Claus on the lawn of the courthouse, and you're just scratching your head thinking, you know, Santa Claus really? This is what you want? You're fighting over Yeah, because it's a symbol. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Santa Claus has no more to do with the nativity of our Lord than Teresa of Avila. But that's not the point. It's not really about Jesus and Luke's gospel about the nativity of Christ. It's really about putting up a flag and saying, this is our country, this is our culture, and we don't like people who are different.
You note that 19th century philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche saw this coming. He saw it, actually realized in his own day, and saw it coming as well. You say that Anders Breivik is the poster boy for the fulfillment of that prophecy. What was it, and how is Anders Breivik, as you say, that poster boy?
Well, Nietzsche said that what European civilization wants right now, and he was writing at the end of the 19th century, what European civilization wants right now is the fruit of Christian culture without the tree itself, namely Christian faith and practice. Because he was writing at a time when, you know, philosophers since Immanuel Kant liked to consider themselves Christians. They invoked the memory of Martin Luther, even though they didn't have slight understanding, but staunchly rejected original sin, justification by faith alone. I mean, they were perfect Pelagians theologically. Nevertheless, they would invoke the enlightened spirit of the reformers. And Nietzsche was saying, you can't have it both ways. You can't have the cultural fruit without the tree. Eventually, the tree will dry up, or the fruit will dry up if the tree is cut down. And I think that he saw, perhaps cynically but accurately, what European civilization post-Enlightenment was all about. And I think that that's what America was all about. You know, Thomas Jefferson could take his scissors and cut out anything in the Bible that referred to the supernatural intervention of God in history, miracles, in other words. He could get rid of any reference that supported the doctrine of the Trinity, any reference to Jesus as God, any reference to the substitutionary atonement or the resurrection of Christ or his return. Snip all of that out, and what do you have left? Pure morality. And that's really what many, not all, but many of America's founding fathers believed in. That is the culture that Friedrich Nietzsche put his finger on when he said, you guys want the quote-unquote Judeo-Christian culture without the actual teachings of the Bible, without being committed to the actual teachings and practice of Scripture.
At the same time, and I think we would agree here, Mike, there is a culture, and here I'm using that term as distinct from culture large C, that, and you spoke of it before, the city of God, that is created by the Word of God, that is maintained by the Word of God, that is synonymous with the church. Make that distinction that Anders Breivik appears unable, and so many Americans appear unable to make for us.
Well, there are so many in both of our traditions who do it better than I can, certainly here. I think that, first of all, we have to realize that Jesus did not come to reinaugurate or reinvigorate the covenant that Israel swore at Mount Sinai when it entered into a covenant with God, and God gave them all of these laws, and they said, all this we will do. They didn't do that. They broke that covenant. God fulfilled his threat and drove them out of his land. They were exiled. Jesus returned and said, here I am, a greater exodus, a greater conquest, after a greater exile than anything that you've experienced heretofore. It's the exodus out of sin and death. And in this age, it's no longer eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You've heard it said, and he's quoting Deuteronomy, you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I tell you, don't fight back. When people persecute you for your faith, turn the other cheek. You've heard it said, but I say. You've heard it said, but I say. Jesus is saying, look, I'm not overthrowing the moral law, but I am saying that now that my kingdom is no longer identified with any particular ethnic group or geopolitical territory or regime, but is a transnational fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, my Father sends his reign upon the just and the unjust alike. And I want you to have that same impartiality in dealing with people around you. So Jesus gives us a completely different program. It's a completely different regime than that which was instituted at Mount Sinai. And he says, now go out into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm not telling you to go and drive out the nations from your holy nation. I'm telling you there is no holy nation except the people of God scattered and gathered from all of the countries, all of the tongues of the nations, into a spiritual priesthood for our God.
Dr. Mike Horton is our guest. We're talking about the worldview of Norway terrorist Anders Breivik on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilken. More with Mike after this.
After more than 20 years, we thought we'd bring you some fresh new ideas for Raging Rivers Water Park. Try this. Raging Rivers, home of the awesome wave pool. Not bad. Raging Rivers does have an awesome wave pool. But what about the endless river, body flume, swirl pool, treehouse harbor, itty bitty surf city, and more? How about Raging Rivers? It's closer than you think. Well, it is just a short scenic drive from anywhere in the Metro St. Louis area. What else? Raging Rivers, affordable fun in the sun. Raging Rivers, the family fun destination. Raging Rivers, a great place for teens. Raging Rivers, open daily on the Great River Road in Grafton, Illinois. You know, these are all wonderful, but they just don't capture the essence of Raging Rivers. The thrills, the relaxation, the absolute ultimate water park experience. Guess there's only one way to say it. Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot. Save $3 off the regular admission price with coupons available at your Schnucks.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is pro-abortion pro-woman?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In her book, Unnatural Selection, Mara Vistendahl denounces sex-selective abortion done because parents want a male child. This is not just wrong, she argues, it's dangerous. She also says the practice was started and promoted by abortion advocates. Pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood International, the Ford Foundation, and the United Nations are all guilty. Their fears of overpopulation led them to promote policies of aborting unborn girls because they're girls. Although supposedly pro-woman, the author shows that pro-abortion groups are responsible for the anti-female gendercide of today.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. A few more minutes with Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn talking about the worldview of Norway terrorist Anders Breivik. Then we'll spend the last part of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt about Ramadan, which begins here in August. It is a month-long celebration, fast, feast, preparation, prayer. It's a lot of different things. And in the Western world, it seems more lighthearted than elsewhere, especially in the Muslim-dominated world. We'll talk about Ramadan with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Mike, with the last few minutes left to us, you say Enlightenment fundamentalist, but how should we think and refer to Anders Breivik?
Well, I think first of all to say, as ministers, we can't we have really nothing to say about whether a civilization should favor this political party or that political party. That is not for the church as an institution to pronounce upon at all. We serve a higher king with ultimate, not penultimate, ambitions. It is a kingdom that in all of its weakness will overpower all of the kingdoms of this world in all of its strength, their strength. It proceeds by the power of the Word and Spirit. It continues apace around the world, even under the cross, even under persecution. It's continuing to conquer. No one can extinguish it. Regimes have tried. Communism tried. Now consumerism is doing all that it can. The gospel will not be extinguished. Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Christians who are shaped by this word of God are going to be salt and light in the kingdoms of this age. But they're never going to make any kingdom of this age the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And so it's not for the same reasons that Ted Turner would like to see a separation of church and state, but it's for the integrity, first of all, of the gospel and the kingdom of Christ that we have to assert. There is absolutely no identification of America or Norway or France or Europe with the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Finally then, Mike, what can we learn about worldviews and their consequences in the worldview of Anders Breivik?
Well, I think one thing it shows is that it's not just Muslims who can be led by their doctrine to walk into a mall with dynamite strapped to their chest. But it also reminds us that when Muslim radicals do that, they are actually most consistently acting upon the views that Islam officially teaches. When Christians, quote-unquote Christians, those who might call themselves Christians, do something like that, they are clearly acting against the primary source documents, the canon, the constitution of the religion they profess. That's a huge difference. Anders Breivik is a great example of someone who has deeply distorted. He's not acting out the principles of Christianity. He has deeply distorted it, as many nominal Christians have in the past, and he is acting out consistently that confusion of Christ and culture that depleted so many generations of Christianity of its greater resources.
Dr. Mike Horton is professor of systematic theology and apologetics at Westminster Theological Seminary in Escondido, California, co-host of the network radio program called The White Horse Inn, and author of a recent blog post titled Enlightenment Fundamentalist Slays 80 at Summer Camp. You'll find a link to this blog post and to The White Horse Inn at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mike, thank you again.
Thank you, Todd.